braja janaranjana. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava. Jayo Kunja Bihari. Jayo Vishnupada Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Stathara Sata Shishimad. His Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sega Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Adigora Bhaktivedanta Ki, Shishi Radha Krishna Gogopakavina Shamakunda Radha Kundigiri Gopakavina Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Jamuna Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Janitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the Samadavatis. All glories to the Samadavatis. All glories to the Samadavatis. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maharha Vaidurya Kirita Kundala Tvisha Harishvakta Sahasra Kuntalam Uddhama Kanchyangada Kankanadibhir Virochamanam Vasudeva Aikshata Maharha Vaidurya Kirita Kundala Tvisha Parishvakta Sahasra Kuntalam Uddama Kanchyangada Kankanadibir Virochamanam Vasudeva Aikshata Maharha Vaidurya Kirita Kundala Tvisha Parishvakta Sahasra Kuntalam Uddama Kanchyangara Kanchanadipir Virochamanam Vasudeva Aikshata. Fazer isso? Maha Artha Vaidurya Kirita Kundala. Of his helmet and earrings, which were studded with very valuable Vaidurya gems. Trisha, by the beauty, Parishvakta Sahasrakuntalam, brilliantly illuminated by scattered fully grown hair. Uddama Kanchi Angara Kankana Adibihi. With a brilliant belt on his waist, armbands on his arms, bracelets on his wrists, etc. Virochamanam. Very beautifully decorated. Vasudeva. Vasudev. The father of Krishna. Aikshata. Saw. Translation. Vasudev then saw the newly born child, who had very wonderful lotus-like eyes, and who bore in his four hands the four weapons, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. On his chest was the mark of Srivatsa, and on his neck the brilliant Kastuba gem. Dressed in yellow, his body blackish like a dense cloud, his scattered hair fully grown, and his helmet and earrings sparkling uncommonly, with a valuable gem by Durya. The child, decorated with a brilliant belt, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments, appeared very wonderful. Purport. To support the word adbhutam, meaning wonderful, the decorations and opulences of the newborn child are fully described. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.30, Parhava tamsa asitam buddha sundarangam. The hue of the Lord's beautiful form resembles the blackish color of dense clouds. Asita means blackish, and ambuda means cloud. It is clear from the word Chaturbhujam that Krishna first appeared with four hands as Lord Vishnu. No ordinary child in human society has ever been born with four hands, and when is a child born with fully grown hair? The descent of the Lord, therefore, is completely distinct from the birth of an ordinary child. The Vaidurya gem, which sometimes appears bluish, sometimes yellow, and sometimes red, is available in Vaikuntha. The Lord's helmet and earrings were decorated with this particular gem. So the Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out here the wonderfulness of Krishna's appearance, the specialness, the uniqueness of his appearance. And so then details are being explained. Why one would see it's special. Well, first of all, you have the aspect of the Lord and how he's always decorated nicely and how beautiful he always is. But then you have the aspect of he's a newborn child. So he has four arms. He has all these ornaments. He has, full-length hair. All these things that just add that he's not ordinary. This is not an ordinary situation. This is then a situation where the Lord has come. And he's come as Vishnu because his parents, being, you know, devoted to the Lord, then they're asking that Vishnu come and be their son. Right? So having Vishnu come as their son, and that's an important element. That's why you see they're from Dwarka. Right? And in Dwarka, then there's that element of understanding and appreciating that he's the Supreme Lord. And so that enhances their relationship. But while you see in Vrindavan, they also know he's the Supreme Lord, but it doesn't change the relationship at all. It doesn't add something to the relationship. They like Krishna just for who he is as a person. Then the Vaikuntha aspect means he's a person, but you appreciate that he's God. So it has that kind of mix. So the here then for Vasudeva, since that is his approach, his mood, then naturally then Krishna will come as Vishnu to show that he has appeared. Otherwise, then he may not know, because they prayed that he would come as their son. And so if he appears as Vishnu, then he'll be satisfied that, yes, Vishnu did come. He did fulfill his promise to his devotees. And at the same time, it's for those who also, who are not outside of this, that they'll be aware that the Supreme Lord has come. So then they're going to deal with Krishna differently. They're not just going to haphazardly interact, but they're going to be focused on that, okay, the Supreme Lord has come, therefore they must deal differently. They must have different consideration. He's just not another kid. You know, so because the point is, you know, for the parents, the kids have, you know, may have dropped out of the heavenly planets, but here you want to make sure that he's beyond that. He's come from Vaikuntha. Right? So you have to make some distinction there. Yeah. Yeah. So the... Yes, so it has that personal aspect. They are the parents, but it is an aspect of the rasa in that they are appreciating this on reverence. There's that aspect there. Because you see is that if Krishna brings, does something so amazing that's not human, then we see is the tendency of the Brajbasis is they'll drop into Dasya Rasa. Because in Dasya Rasa or servitorship, that's the perfect rasa for appreciating on reverence. It can be appreciated on all levels, but it's the most appreciated here. Because then he's God, and we, as you know, humble servants, we render service to the Lord. So we see is that when Krishna does something very amazing, then again they'll drop into this Dasya Rasa. And then it'll match that aspect of on reverence. Then by the extension of Krishna's Yoga Maya, again then they'll start to see him in the relationship beyond just Dasya. So they're here, he appears, they'll offer prayers and all that as the Supreme Lord. And then by the covering of the Yoga Maya, then they'll start to see him again as their child, and then ask him to take this child form as a baby. And then in that form, then, you know, arrangements will be made to then take him to Vrindavan. So what Krishna's pastimes when he performs, then they're so perfect because they match the particular aspect of the devotees, the particular flavor of the devotee. And so it will deal in that way. And so there's not going to be any shortage. No one will feel any lacking. So even in our own lives, Krishna will deal according to our nature. The difference will be is that those who are perfect, those who are the associates of the Lord, they're always going to deal on the platform of prema. So then the desires that they have will always be in connection with the Lord. So then interacting based on those desires, fulfilling those desires, maintaining based on that, that works very nicely. But we see is that in the material world, Krishna will reciprocate us as the devotees, and that devotion rendered in the fields that we render it in. But at the same time, being sadhakas, then sometimes it may be more about Krishna, and sometimes it may not be as much about Krishna. So to bring us closer to Krishna, then Krishna is always going to act in such a way that it will bring us closer. So that may sometimes mean the externals of our nature. Sometimes things go nicely. Sometimes things go a little less nicely. But the point is it's all being designed so we can easily take shelter of Krishna. That's the whole point. Because, see, is that, how you say, Prabhupada makes the point, first deserve, then desire. Is that when you deserve something on an elevated platform, then naturally then that can be fulfilled by Krishna. But if we're wanting something on a lower platform, then what's the point of fulfilling that? You know, what will that do? So it has to be in connection with our qualification. Does that make sense? You know, so that's how it works. You know, it's just like if you have a small child, then they get a little bicycle. They don't get an Olympic bicycle. Right? They get one matching themselves. They may want that. They may want to be a fireman. They want the fire truck. They want the whole thing, but they're not qualified. They get in that area, but in the context of what they can do. So in the same way as in our sadhana, then the desires, how much they're connected to Krishna, that works very nicely. What's not connected to Krishna, then those aspects, then Krishna will deal in such a way to gradually purify us and bring us to Him. That's the whole point. That's how the whole Vedic system is designed. It's designed on the nature of the individual. And that nature of the individual is according to what the nature actually is. Not what we think it is. It means that context of what we think it is will be considered. But it's not that that's necessarily how it's going to go. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you have a small child, they do something, and it's a very simple thing, it's very wonderful. And you're encouraged in that way, because then they'll do again. But now if someone's an adult, and they're only doing that very simple, not even very developed, or even done very well activity, and then they expect that same praise and everything like that, it's not going to happen. Right? Then you're expected to be more mature, have better qualifications, do things in a better way. Right? So it just depends upon our attitude. If there's more pride, then it better be a better quality. If it's more pure, more simple, then these simple things will work. So Krishna, exactly according to our nature, He'll reciprocate. And so that's a very important aspect, that it's according to the nature, it's according to the individual, it's a personal process. And Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, He can easily deal with each one of us individually and uniquely. But it's according to what's going to work. Just like people go to the doctor. The doctor deals with all the patients according to their particular disease, their particular nature. He doesn't do the same disease, you know, the same treatment for everybody. Right? There's some difference. And so then accordingly, then they progress. So they're individuals, they're dealt with individually. So that means how things will work for us, how it will be interacted, that's going to be different. But it will be according to our position of advancement, not according to our demand or our desire. Right? Does that make sense? It'll be in the context of our desire, but it may not be exactly how our desire is, you know, what we're thinking like that. What's up? Okay. Any questions on this or something? No? Yes. I think you have to turn it on.
Maharaj, so sometimes we might desire something, but because, as you say, it might not be fulfilled as we desire it, we might become disturbed because what we perceive is not what we're expecting. So how then we can align ourselves with actually expecting something reasonable from Krishna?
Okay, how to expect something reasonable from Krishna. That's the whole point of self-realization. Part of the self-realization is actually knowing, one, you know, most importantly, who we are as the eternal servant of Krishna. Then on the lower level, then we have to know what intelligence, what mind, and what senses and body we have. And and then how that's manifesting. So therefore, then where do we fit into the whole system? Where do we fit into the social structure and all that? So what do we actually deserve? The more we're clear on that, the less we'll be disturbed or disappointed. Problem comes as when we think we deserve more than what we are worth. You know what I'm saying? Because here we're looking at it is that if we're not the body and we're not the gross and subtle bodies, that means there's not a problem in acknowledging it for what it is. I don't know if you had the experience, but many times I've seen this, and it's not so often, but sometimes I see, it's very, very refreshing when you have some devotees and they talk about their purva samskar, their life and their background and that before they were a devotee, and they're talking about it in the context of what it is. In that it wasn't a very great background, and they talk about it that it wasn't great. It was, a humble background, and they talk about it like that. But that's what they were in, and they did all their activities in that, and they, they had a good time or whatever. And it's very pleasant, rather than the one where they're trying to attribute more to their position than actually is. Does that make sense? They're a more comfortable person to be with. People will trust them more. You can get more done. People will give you more work. Because the thing is if you say you're bigger, unless you're doing bigger stuff, it's not going to work. But if you're very straightforward, and that means you can see things more clearly, that means you can be trained. So even on the material platform, it works a whole lot better this way. Right? And we're not going to fool Krishna. He's in the heart. He knows who we are. Even if we don't. So when something happens, we expect something, we get something less, then we can understand why is there misery. Misery doesn't come from Krishna consciousness. Misery comes from material desire. So that means the material desire in what we're expecting from Krishna is too strong, in that it overbalances the actual usefulness of it in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, one needs a place to stay, and then if one's there, it's secure, you keep your things there that you use, and then you can very easily regulate your life in context of Krishna conscious practice. So that's the value of the house. But when we put more into the house means more. It's a social prestige, it's a matter of sense gratification, it's, whatever it may be. Then if it doesn't work out quite the way we want, it's because of that. That's we're miserably because of that material desire, not because Krishna didn't fulfill it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so then if we're looking at the point is that, and then if it did get it, then what would happen? We'd be absorbed in that social prestige, that pride, this and that. And how useful is that in Krishna consciousness? Right? Even materialists don't like too much pride. Right? If you're something really super, then they'll tolerate it, but nobody likes it. But if you're just ordinary and you have pride, then who's going to tolerate it? I mean, your mom, of course, but, other than her, right? That's why moms are special, because they're only one in the universe that will deal with you nicely, even though you're not. I think it was Al Capone. He's a very famous gangster. And I think when he got sentenced and all that, and they asked her, so what do you think? Your son's a big criminal and that. She says, but he was such a nice boy. He was always so nice to his mother. So outside of that, you have to remember is your mother's only been around this life. Krishna's been in your heart every lifetime you've been in the material world. So he knows what's going on. Right? So therefore, according to that amalgamation of all those things, what is manifest now and how in that position to move you forward in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will deal. So sometimes you'll see he'll fulfill the desires because you get inspired and have faith. But then when you take it for granted, then why will he fulfill the desires? Right? The gopis, the most qualified girls in the cosmos, right? They're, become proud. Krishna leaves. right? Millions of girls, he walks out, right? You know, in this world, guy's not going to walk out if there's one girl who thinks he's great. You know, let alone millions. He just walks out. Like that. Only when the attitude adjusts, then he comes back. You understand? So, you'll have both things, just like we said. The small child, you encourage them, but as they get bigger, they can't expect they're going to get the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the guy's bigger. It's not that then the boss is going to put a gold star next to his name, you know, like that, and point out to the other guys, see, he's got 5 gold stars. How many do you have? Right? You know, that's not going to happen. If it is happening, you might consider changing companies, unless it's really doing well. But, yeah. So, we have to look at it that it's a matter of self-realization. It's not a trick. It's not a tactic. Much of the time we look at it, okay, what's the particular knowledge and skill that I apply here? It's a matter of the devotion and being honest of who we are. Then we can see as if it didn't work out, then the real point is do I actually deserve it? Means what we were looking for. We definitely deserve that it didn't work. You know, so we have to be able to see that that's going to be the consideration. And then we're going to look at, okay, why not? And then analyze there. And then that's where the self-realization aspect then is applied. Right? Because self-realization means all 4 levels. Right? The consciousness, the intelligence, the mind, and the body. You have to deal in all 4. So that's why we have Krishna consciousness, and that practices sadhana for there, but we also have the social system for the other. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, and especially nowadays that people, it's the common thing that they're adults, so they all try to, you know, I'm not sure what the term is, but kind of like fluff themselves up more. You know, and everybody, that's the common culture, try to encourage everybody, make everybody very good, except for people who don't encourage other, and then we'll make them feel as bad as possible. And like that, and so therefore, people think it's all about them. And so they kind of forget that it's about Krishna. And so the whole point is then, okay, if you encourage them and give them facility, then they become even more puffed up, so they become a disturbance to society. So how is this going to work? So that means the individual themselves have to try to be sincere and look at it and try to analyze it. It may be difficult. It may be slow. It may take, lots of practice. But one has to have that attitude, that one understands, okay, there. One may have a reaction that's not ideal, but you know, intellectually at least, that you should correct the situation. But if we think, no, you're fine and everybody else is wrong, and why isn't Krishna and all that, then it's like, since when is Krishna supposed to fulfill all your desires? And you know, can you go to a store and demand that I want that fancy car? I go in with the price of the car at the entry level, but I want the fancy one with all the bells and whistles. Right? You're not going to get it. You know what I'm saying? You look at it this way. If you were born with a gold spoon in your mouth, or at least a silver spoon in your mouth, then you can expect that you have all nice material facilities. That's just part of, you know, your nature and what you can function in. But if you didn't, and then you expect all that, it's kind of like, why would you? You can't in the quote-unquote real world. Or if you want, you got to go out and get it. And then the whole point is, as you get it, it's still temporary, your body's temporary, and so you're still going to be just as miserable. So why not use that effort to get nice things for Krishna? Does that make sense? So it comes back down to self-realization. You yourself have to make an effort. Try to understand. And then it works very nicely. Does that make sense? Okay, yes. The mic back. You have to turn it on. There's some switch somewhere.
The question is about reciprocation of Sri Krishna. Once in Moscow, you explained philosophy, psychology, and you told that Purusha always can do something, but female always depend on him, and she will reciprocate only how much he act. And but Krishna told in Bhagavad Gita, Yadha mam prapadyante tam stethaiva bhajami aham. Does it mean that in this case Krishna told that he will reciprocate with us according our activity, according our devotion? Does it mean that in interaction with his devotee, Sri Krishna acts in female position?
Okay, see, is that in that explanation you have to take it farther? Is that according to the nature of the feminine nature is how the masculine nature is going to interact. But according to how the masculine then interacts, then the feminine will respond. And then according to that response, then the masculine will act again. So it keeps going back and forth. You have both, it goes both ways. Right? Does that make sense? But the point is the field is the feminine. Does that make sense? The field of action is the feminine nature. Like that. And the masculine is functioning in that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in here is that Krishna is functioning in the field of action, which is ours. He's functioning, interacting with it, us, based on our field of action. His field of action is the cosmos. Our field of action is what we perceive with our senses. And therefore, with our body, the senses, the mind, the desires, the facilities, it's all within the context of our facility. So that puts Krishna in the masculine position. So he's interacting there. Does that make sense? And then as we see Krishna's, how he's dealing, then we're supposed to then try to move forward, right, in the spiritual platform. Because the relationship with him is spiritual. We can't take it on the material platform. In the spiritual world, then the devotees there can work in these relationships of friendship, parental, and conjugal. Because they're on the transcendental, same transcendental platform as Krishna. And they're dealing on the platform of love and affection. While here, in the conditioned state, we're dealing on the material platform, which means it's not about Krishna. It's about ourself. And so Krishna doesn't interact with the material energy. So it's only because we're interacting with him, therefore he is directly interacting with us. Otherwise, if we're not trying to, in devotion, serve Krishna, then through his material energy, he takes care of the living entities. He doesn't personally get involved. Even though he's sitting in the heart, he doesn't personally get involved. Maya knows what to do. It's sanctioned. You know, the potency is already there with Krishna and everything like that. So then it carries on. But when one takes up Krishna consciousness, then Krishna personally gets involved. So that's why it's Krishna karma. So therefore we may get more or less than what would be our material karma. Right? Whatever is going to be most favorable for Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole aspect there. You know, Srila Prabhupada, according to his astrological chart, by his karma, he should have been like basically the richest man in India. Right? Because he's the pure devotee. Why wouldn't he be? Right? But we see as Krishna arranged it that things just didn't work out in the family life. Because if they had, then how much the family would be involved, how much he would be involved in so many things, would he have had that opportunity to go out and start, you know, the League of Devotees and then go to the West and fulfill all these things? Because the family would be so entangling. Right? Because they were totally just whatever, they were totally dependent on him. They weren't taking up responsibility. And we see Prabhupada is very responsible. So as long as he had the duties, he was doing them, even though they weren't reciprocating very well. Right, so then when the day then he asked his wife, you know, when she sold, how you say, I think his Bhagavatam, like that, he came and asked and she had sold it for biscuits. One devotee joked that She was the first one to sell Prabhupada's books. She was the first book distributor. Yeah. Unfortunately, you're supposed to sell the one that Prabhupada's not using. You know, yeah, like that. You know, small point. So then he asked her, so are you going to... So it's either, you know, it's either, you know, you follow me or, you know, you and your tea and all this. Because she sold the book to buy biscuits to drink, eat with her tea. So he says, it's, you know, tea or me. And so she thought he was joking. She said tea. And little did she know, she didn't expect. Then it's come to that point. It's already at the point of vanaprastha. It's not favorable. Neither she or her sons were really supportive of what he was doing and all that. And so, and they weren't trying to take part and take up and, you know, take over the business and do, you know, do their part. And so then it's unfavorable. So they just are interested in the material, aren't willing to cooperate. So he's done his work, you know, from when he was young, married, brought up, created the facility, and they're not taking up their responsibility. So therefore, then he's technically his work is done. So then he leaves. But now if everything's going so nice and this and that, it's harder because there's so many more complications to be involved. So then by it not working, then you see that then he didn't have. And then it's easier for him to be involved in carrying on the mission of Lord Chaitanya. But at the same time, then, we see is that the facilities that he had all over the world, like he said, he has 108 palaces. Right? A rich man may have, you know, his place in L.A., one in New York, you know, one in Paris, maybe London, maybe in, you know, Milan or something and that, and one somewhere else in some weirdo place just to be weird. But that's about it. Maybe, you know, they have one or two other places, and that's it. 108? All over the world? Like that? You know, so it's that he had more facility than anyone. But for him, it was just the facility to use for Krishna. So he's not proud of it. He's not expecting it. You know, so he showed. He started with, I mean, literally nothing in New York. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like what would we say? It was then it was 10. Now it's 88 times 4 times 8. 300. Okay. Prabhupada went to America with 40 rupees. He knew nobody. He didn't have any contacts. He didn't have any idea of how things were going to go. But his spiritual master said to do it. He had that faith. He went. So he went 40 rupees. Now I'm not sure what it would be for inflation. But even if we added it up to, you know, 4,000 rupees, would you be willing to go to America with 4,000 rupees and know nobody and have nothing? Like that. So Prabhupada did that. And the fun part is, he brought his 40 rupees back to India. Right? He didn't even have to spend it. Now that's good. Yeah. So therefore we have to see as Krishna's always acting in that position, the masculine position. We're always in the feminine position. We're energy. Within the etiquette, depending upon what body we have in form, we follow that etiquette. You know, just Mother Jashoda follows the etiquette of the female etiquette. Nanda Baba follows the male. But they're both energy. They're both Shakti. Right? Because it's pastimes means you're playing a role. So you don't like your part doesn't mean now you take someone else's role. That's really annoying, right? It's time for the lead person to get up and sing a song and then you decide you're going to sing it. It's not good. It's a disturbance. No one likes it. No one else on the stage likes it. No one in the audience likes it. You know, the critics are going to pan it. It's just uncool. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the difficulty. Does that make sense? Okay. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. When does Krishna, our Ishtadeva, start to reciprocate with us? At what stage of
Means personally.
Personally.
At Shraddha. When you have that faith that in Krishna consciousness, in that, you know, in the Shraddha to Prema, when they develop Shraddha, that's when he personally does. Before that, then the material energy is taken care of. But when you develop that faith, then that's, he's taking it. Before that, he gives you the opportunity. He puts you in contact with devotees. So Agyata Sukriki is coming because there's some interest, so he'll put you in contact with the devotee. But only when you're in contact with the devotees and have that faith there, now he'll personally see to what's going on. Then it's the Krishna karma. Before that, it's you're dealing in the realm of piety, but since you don't know its devotion, it's also agyat, unknown devotional piety. So when that increases to the point where you develop faith, then that's a special position. So from that point. And then, you know, so that's always, he's always there. It's just a matter of us, you know, how you say, turning to him, surrendering, that aspect, being aware, being conscious that he's there. Because otherwise the tendency is that we'll think, oh, you know, I'm so this or I'm so that. But the point is Krishna's right there. Work it out with him. You know, it's just like, I'm so fallen, I can't do this, I can't do that. But, you know, who said you're supposed to? What we're supposed to do, we surrender to Krishna. Krishna, he gives the ability, then we can do it. Right? Does that make sense? So to be able to do the service, to be able to, you know, do the things that should be done, to avoid what's not supposed to be done, you know, all these different things, to remove material desire, that's all by the grace of Krishna.
And at what stage you actually feel, you know it's grace, you feel that grace?
Means here and there, naturally it'll be felt, but you could probably say that'll be more from the stage of steadiness. Because from the nishta, then the steadiness is there, so there's not so much, the prominence of anartha has gone down. And so then the prominence, 75%, then will be Krishna conscious, right? And that means, or at least the anarthas have been removed 75%. So that means now you can increase the Krishna consciousness to 75. So depending upon how much we've put into that side of the practice, then it'll go quicker, like that. But from there, you could say it can be steady, you know, because that's why it's called steadiness. Then you could probably say, as it comes to ruchi or taste, then it'll be more prominent. You'll be more aware of it, more inclined. Attachment, then naturally that's going to be there. And then you could say at bhava or root rati, where there's that attraction or that to Krishna, that attachment there, then you could say is that the anarthas have been removed, so there is no material desire. So at that time, then you'll see it'll be on a steady platform. But it still has to go from that steadiness to, you know, actual absorption and then to samadhi for it to progress. But otherwise, we're starting from, you know, I think intermittently thinking of Krishna and then kind of regularly thinking of Krishna. Then it becomes constantly thinking of Krishna. Then it becomes deep and then it becomes, you know, full absorb, that there's exclusive like that. And so when it comes to that point, then one is, we'll always be absorbed in Krishna. Well, there won't be any distraction like that. So we need to go past the neutral state, the tathasta position, of just that neutralness. We're not in the material world, but we're not into Krishna. We actually have to get it on Krishna's side. Then we'll move forward dynamically. So even in this position of our self now, in however far, if you've gained Shraddha, you're in a more spiritually advanced position than the position that we left the spiritual platform from. Because then it's just neutral. We don't have a spiritual taste, but we don't have a material taste. So, therefore, there is no material taste, so we're not situated on the material platform. So the spiritual form is there, the Boma Lila is there. But there's no attraction to Krishna. So then, somehow or another, by looking across that facility, that Viraja, and looking at it from the secondary perspective, that it's not in connection with Krishna, but in connection with ourselves, then we take on the material concept, then we come into the material world. Then we're transferred at that point. So then, going back to that platform of that liberation, we're actually in a more advanced state than we were before, because now it's positive. We have that faith in Krishna. So now it's just a matter of cultivating that, and that's cultivated in the association of the devotees. So that's one of the things that someone's very serious about advancing. They're serious about associating with devotees. They take that valuable. They respect, they associate, they serve. And so whether it's here in the sadhaka rupa or it's in the siddha rupa, it's the same. Because only by associating with Krishna's eternal associates do you gain that mood that they have in prema. That attraction, that attachment to Krishna that they have, that's constant, on that, you know, exclusive. Then by that association we start to develop that. And so then here it's going to be the same thing. The process is always the same, no matter where you are. And so then here, then it's a matter of how much we take advantage of the Vaishnava association. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is saying that the Jiva Doya, that mercy to the living entities, so that's the preaching movement in that. Then Vaishnava Seva, how much we serve Vaishnavas, how much we value that association, how much we take that seriously. And then the third is Nama Ruchi, the taste for the name. So that's the, in other words, the that positive aspect of that connection to Krishna, how we're connected to that positive aspect through the Vaishnavas, and being a friend of the Lord, therefore his mood is to how to save all the living entities and this and the spiritual master and the acharyas have come. So being in that mood of that aspect of being a friend, we try to take on that same mission, therefore Jiva Doya. So that's the you could say the complete mission in a nutshell, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Well, yes. Why not?
So Maharaj, my question is relating to child rearing and raising children.
Child?
Rearing. Raising children.
Okay.
So like the children that devotees have, they were in their past lives practitioners of devotional service. So then that means that they are also under, from their birth, under the direction of Krishna himself, right?
Yes, means they've been, but the thing is it's when they become conscious of that, it's when things will move more dynamically. So if you see that consciousness there early, like you see Prahlad Maharaj, then it works very nicely. But Krishna will be arranging. Otherwise, why are they born in the family of devotees? It's not on the list of 8,400,000. You know, it's not in Yamaraj's list. So taking birth in the family of devotees, that's arranged by Krishna. You don't go to Yamaraj. You don't go through his system.
So we know that without Krishna's mercy, then we're not actually able to become free from illusion. So
yes.
How do I reconcile that, you know, this child can actually only become freed without Krishna's mercy, and also with the fact that we're supposed to train them in a way that will make them most favorable to continue their devotional service? Where it kind of seems like we have to actually do something, but we're not actually the ones that are able to free them.
Okay, so we're not the one able to free him. So then the question comes up, so why are we working? And if Krishna is the one to free them, then why isn't he doing the work? Right? But then also in that, then it would go along as then who gets to enjoy the kids, then it would be Krishna, not us. You want to enjoy the kids, you do the work. Right? So, the whole point is as Krishna says in the Gita, is that you have a right to perform your duty, but you should never think that you're the cause of the results. And you should never be attached to the results of thinking that they're yours. Nor should you be attached to not doing your duties because you don't see the results coming out the way you want. I invested 10 rupees and I expect to get back crores, and it's not working, so therefore, you know, I'm not going to do this. Right? The whole point is nothing happens without Krishna's mercy. Even the karmi can't understand mundane things. Why is it that the mechanics of something is so obviously there, and then Krishna reveals something now, and then suddenly now everybody sees it? Because Krishna's revealing it. He's doing it through Maya. He doesn't have to directly do it. Why is something that's so obvious that now suddenly everybody sees that, oh yeah, we should do that? So Krishna is revealing that through the modes of nature. So nobody knows anything or can do anything without Krishna's mercy. But for the karmis, you're only dealing with Brahman and Paramatma. For the devotee, he's dealing with Bhagavan. That's where the difference is. That faith means now you're dealing with Bhagavan. Does that make sense? That then makes them a devotee. Before that, we'll say they're a religious person. Yes, they have faith in God. They turn to God. But what for? For karma jnana. So it's not actually devotional. It'll have devotion in it, of course, because serving the Lord, remembering the Lord, worshipping the Lord is all part of devotion. But they're doing that for karma and jnana, so you can't really call it devotion. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say someone goes into the kitchen, really puts in a huge effort to cook some really special stuff, and when you ask, wow, who are you cooking for? What are you cooking? Oh, I'm just cooking for myself. You wouldn't mention that they're devoted to their work. You mention it's devoted to their work when the benefit's going somewhere else, even in the material platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if you're working really hard and doing better than everyone else, so you'll be recognized by everyone and you'll get all the full benefits yourself, and you really don't care about anyone else, it's just that they're instruments for you to get done what you want to get done, and you're better than them anyway, so therefore, what's the problem? Then no one's going to say that that's devotion. You understand? So in a world where there isn't an understanding of devotion, what little bit is there from devotion, they'll call devotion. But we won't be pure devotion. So pure devotion is what distinguishes the devotee. Okay? So therefore, we have to see from our own self that we have to be willing to engage our nature in Krishna's service, because otherwise we're engaging our nature for our own purposes. So why not do that in context of Krishna? Why not do that because Krishna's given the whole varnashram system and everything. He's given families and what people do and responsibilities and everything like that. So why not, instead of doing that just for ourselves, do that in connection with Krishna, since that's how Krishna likes it to run? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it works like that. So you have to see is that Krishna means you do nothing, it'll be taken care of. Like Ramanuja, I'm not sure if it was Ramanujacharya, or he gave the example that someone's child was born, and in the process of the child being born, the mother died. And so then, and at that time, the father was taking sannyas. And so when this happened, then he had a doubt. Well, who's going to raise the child? Then he noticed over in the corner that there was a little tick-ticky egg. And the tick-ticky egg broke open, and the little baby tick-ticky came out. And the first thing that happened is something flew by, and the tick-ticky, you know, grabbed it and ate it, you know, as reptiles tend to do. Then he understood Krishna takes care. Sridhar Swami. Right? So that's the whole thing, is even if you're not involved, that kid will grow up and will become a devotee. But since the individual has that desire and need to be involved in this kind of family affairs and the emotions and feelings and everything that goes with it, the experiences, therefore Krishna gives the opportunity. You can do that in the context of this child. And so therefore the kid's growing up in Krishna consciousness, it's improving your Krishna consciousness. Because you can't tell them to be Krishna conscious and you're not. That means despite the popularity, the saying, don't do as I do as I say, doesn't actually work very well. You know, ask any teenager. It's a total bomb. It just doesn't work. So therefore, you have to advance. So even though we may be interested in family life and get distracted from devotional service from that, but in family life you have to be Krishna conscious to make it work. Right? So then that way you advance, and then the child advances, and then it's all nice. It's all done for Krishna because it's all a pastime. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that way you get to take part. So it's not your child. Right? Means if in the marriage ceremony the first mantra that's chanted in relationship to the girl is this bride belongs to Prajapati Vishnu. Means the girl belongs to Vishnu, not to me. Right? Does that make sense? So then why would the child belong to you and not to Vishnu? So that means the wife and the child belongs to Vishnu. And according to the Ishopanishad, then there's a quota for everyone according to their nature and position that they can take part in utilizing those things that are connected to Krishna. And they can have the confidence that this is theirs to utilize for Krishna. No, someone else can't come along and say, oh, it's all for Krishna. Right? You see that all the time. So, you know, you take a garden, you plant the flowers. No one else is planting flowers. I mean, just like it's not. I mean, it's just like, you know, desert would be a good day, right? And so then you go to the work, you plant everything and all that. When the flowers come, then everyone else comes and picks them. All the desert wallas. And so then when you ask them, why are you picking the flowers? And it says, everything belongs to Krishna. Great, so we're coming over to your house and collecting stuff for lunch today. You know, it's closer than going to the shop, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. You have a quota. You can be confident that it's there according to the social environment, but you can't say that ultimately on the greater environment by karma and what's there in the way of either material or spiritual, what it's going to be, because the results are not up to us. Yudhishthira Maharaj, now he's an emperor. So he knows management, right? We'll have to give that to him, right? Yeah. So he says, if you want to, at management, there's three things you have to know. One is you have to have the knowledge. You know, you have to have the, and from that, then you have to have focus. So the point is, if you have focus, because you know what everything is and can apply it, and you make the endeavor with that focus, then the results, that's up to Krishna. It's not up to you. So as long as you think, I do it, I get the result, then you'll always find there's problems. It'll always never work out. And when you see it's all up to Krishna's mercy, then it'll work out how he wants it to. Right? Because it's going to work that way anyway, so why not go with it? Our business is to make the endeavor. Otherwise, then what connects you to Krishna? Why do you say someone's a devotee? We say, okay, this person is a devotee. What are the symptoms? There are no symptoms. Oh, no one can tell. You know, it's all a matter of the heart and this and that, blah, and all this. And we'll go on sentimentally talking like this for the next 10,000 years. Or is it that you see they dress like a devotee, they talk like a devotee, walk like a devotee, all the things that Arjuna asked about in the Gita. Okay, how does a person with this consciousness, how do they sit, how do they talk, how do they walk? Right? You know, they wear tilak, they chant Hare Krishna, they do service, they come to the temple. These are how you know. So are those, so the only way is then that means, and then you can interact with them based on that. If they just sit at home and just in their mind they're a devotee, but there's no external symptoms, how do you interact with them also as a devotee? Because you'll be sitting in your home in meditation, they'll be sitting in their home in meditation, and like that. Right? I mean, maybe with a sci-fi kind of twist on it, we could kind of make some kind of relationship, but it probably won't sell. You know what I'm saying? So that means it's based on the endeavors everyone's making. That's where the relationship is. And so why wouldn't it be the same with Krishna? He's the origin of this. Cowherd boys do one thing. They relate to Krishna in one way. Cowherd girls do other things. They relate to Krishna in a different way. Mother Yashoda has different duties again. She relates in another way. You understand? It's through the activities. But the result's up to Krishna. This idea that I did the work, I get the result, that's why we're in the material world. And where we think I do these works to please Krishna, that's when we go to the spiritual world. Good? Yeah? Okay. So we'll end here. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.